starting in verse 6. The Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the Lord, whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war." I want to take this passage and a few other passages and just simply talk to you about this subject, a follower of God. If you notice in the verses that we just read, there's three different times in verse 8, 9, and 14 that gave the reason why Caleb was at this point in his life that he was going to get his inheritance. And the reason was, is he wholly followed God with his whole heart. And so I want to take this and see the reasons why he got to this point. So a follower of God, or how Caleb was a follower of God, however you want to title it. Let's go to the Lord and ask his blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can come and learn more about you. Just help us as we take a close look at Caleb's life and what really made him different from the other guys, and how that we need to apply our life, some of these same principles that Caleb did, and so that we could be a true follower of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you come to chapter 14 of Joshua, Joshua is about to divide the land, the promised land that God had promised them and had brought them out of Egypt. And Caleb comes and begins to rehearse some things with Joshua from the past, why he was there, what he was expecting. But really the story begins in the book of Numbers. So let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And you look at this whole chapter, 13 and 14, and you see the story of these guys that the first verse, God comes to Moses and he says, I want you to take these guys and I want you to go out and I want you to search the land. So Moses does this. He takes a guy from each tribe and they go out and they search the land. What Moses added, if you look real closely, Moses, when he picked the guys, he said, I want you to go into the land and I want you to see whether it's good or bad. In verse 19, God didn't say to search the land whether it was good or bad. God didn't bring him to a bad land. He brought him to a good land. All right, Moses threw that in. We'll look at that a little bit later. But so the idea was these guys was to go out and search the land that God had promised that he was going to give them. It was already a done deal. The whole point was just to see what they had been looking for so long. So they go out, these 12 guys, and they, you know the little song, 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And really, when you look at these guys, you don't really remember the 10 bad guys. okay? The guys that brought up an evil report, because really, who wants to focus on the villains? Who wants to focus on the guys that brought up a negative report? But everybody knows the two guys that brought up a good report by the name of Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, you don't find much in the Bible about Caleb. Caleb's story begins, the first mention of Caleb is in Numbers chapter 13 when Moses picks him out. Okay, Joshua, we know that Joshua has been a minister of God, a minister of Moses. He's Moses' second man. So Joshua, he's pretty important. He's the number one guy that Moses went to when there was problems, when there was going to be some things that to get the guys together to go fight some battles. He always got Joshua. So we find Caleb here. Caleb kind of sticks out in my mind as being as a real influence for God at this point. But these 12 guys go out, and they search the land, they come back, and they start to give a report of the land. They say it's exactly what God said it was going to be. It's plenteous, it's bountiful, there's all sorts of things to eat, there's plenty of water. There's going to be, it truly is a promised land. But the problem is there's some people there that are a little bit bigger than us, a little bit stronger than us. There's some cities there. There's some obstacles, okay? As a Christian, God is with us through life. All right, look at the parallel here between the story of the Israelites and us, me and you. That God is with us through life, but doesn't mean that there's no obstacles in life. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be any bumps in the road. And just because God brought them to the promised land doesn't mean that there was not going to be any obstacles past going into the promised land. They've met a lot back in Egypt, and they already wandered through the wilderness to get here. Okay, but it doesn't mean just because you go into the promised land, there's not going to be any more obstacles. All right, but these guys, these 10 guys, I don't know if they were expecting just to kick back. Maybe they were thinking this was our retirement, you know, we weren't going to have any more problems. But they come back and they say some things that got the whole congregation pretty upset pretty quickly. And Caleb, he stops, and in chapter 13 of Numbers, he says in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He calmed them down. Caleb stood up and was about to speak the truth. And this is what he said: "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." How was Caleb a follower of God? Number one, Caleb simply relied on God. Caleb got his strength from God. You remember, the nation of Israel weren't always like this. When you think of, when they relied on God. In Exodus 15:2, they had just been released from Egypt. All right, after the 10 plagues, they got to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming behind them. God parted the Red Sea. They got to the other side, and they looked back, and they saw that God drowned the Philistines, and they celebrated. And look and listen to what they said in Exodus 15:2. "The Lord is my strength and song." Now, this is the whole congregation of Israel. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Now, this is the entire congregation of Israel are saying these things about God: how good he is, how strong he is, how powerful he is. And they just saw an amazing thing happen that they couldn't have done. There was no way that they would have been able to turn around and fight the Egyptians and win. All right? Their strength solely was upon God, and they at this time realized it. But when you come to going into the promised land and seeing what was there and who was there, their strength wasn't in God anymore. It was in themselves. But Caleb stood up and he relied on God, and he got his strength from God. I wonder where we get our strength from. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that can pull at us for satisfaction. But if you really want to find true satisfaction and true peace in your life, you will have to turn to God for your strength. Look at some of the things that Caleb relied on God for. He relied on God as a follower. In Joshua 14, go back to Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. He's explaining to Joshua how old he was back then. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart." Here we find that Caleb is a follower. He had 12 other people. There's 10 bad guys and the 10 good guys. So there was a group, and he was a follower. He wasn't the leader of the pack. He was a follower. He went out to do what God had asked him to do, and what Moses asked him to do was to spy out the land. He was a follower, and he relied on God for his strength in that situation. Not only was he a follower, but he was a leader. Go back to Numbers 13:25. He was the guy that stood up by himself. See, you're not going to be a good leader until you're a good follower in anything. Caleb had to learn to follow before he could learn how to lead. All right? Number two, Caleb remained faithful to God. But look what Caleb remained faithful to God in. In Numbers 14:24, God has some things to say about Caleb. Actually, let's start in verse 22. We'll read 22, 23, and 24. The Bible says in verse 22, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." God is saying, look, if you doubt me and if you provoke me, you're not going to see the reward. You're not going to see the promised land. Verse 24, "But my servant Caleb," this is God talking about Caleb, "my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb remained faithful to God, but how did he do it? Number one, in his attitude. You look at verse 24 again. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit." What's that other spirit? That was his attitude. And may I say, he had a good attitude. I mean, you got to think, you've got these 10 other guys, and they're giving Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation a bad testimony of the land. And Caleb, they were given a negative report. Caleb stands up, and he has a different spirit. He has another spirit. He has a good attitude. And he says, look, I know that there's cities, and I know that there's people, but God is our strength. The God that we saw that gave the 10 plagues in Egypt, brought us out of Egypt, brought us through the Red Sea, conquered the Egyptians. We wandered in the wilderness. He did all these things. And you guys are going to quit when all we got to do is take it? I mean, really, that's what Caleb was saying. And that's the attitude. You can see the attitude that Caleb had. He had a good attitude. How's your attitude in your service? You know, you can serve having a good attitude and a bad attitude. You really can. And you're serving. But which service is God pleased in? You ever, you know, we've set up some things we do a lot with teenagers, obviously, and with the kids program. And you set up different activities, and you buy things, and you plan things. And I found this out. Usually, the harder you plan, it usually doesn't go the way you plan it. But you plan things, you buy things, you prepare things, you make telephone calls, you set things up, and you get all these things, and you're excited about it. I mean, I'm excited about this Saturday. Man, we get to eat at 3 different places, and I'm all about that. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to play some games. But you know what really kind of spoils it? When somebody shows up, and they got a bad attitude. And I've thought this before. Boy, this activity would be really good, and it would be really better if that person hadn't showed up. Why? Because you get a bad attitude in a group, and it changes everything. You don't think so? Look at 10 guys and what they did to the whole congregation of Israel. I mean, they got them so worked up. They were willing to kill Joshua and Caleb. That's how mad they were. That's how bad their attitude was. That's how of another spirit they were. They weren't of a good spirit, okay? Caleb was the only guy in chapter 13 that stood up. Chapter 14, Joshua got in. All right, got involved there. But Caleb, he remained faithful to God in his attitude. How are we in our attitude in service? We can do a lot of things for God. But the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. And when you have a bad attitude, that's not to the glory of God. You need to make sure that your service, what you do for God, is with your whole heart, like Caleb did it, but also with the right attitude. Because if it's not, you're infected and you can infect other people. And that's not bringing glory to God. Number two, we got to keep going. He remained faithful to God in obedience. Numbers 14, 24. In this same verse, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Caleb remained faithful to God in his obedience. Followed me, that's talking about God, fully. Is that how we serve? Is that how we remain faithful? Do we follow God completely? That's what fully means, completely. Without restraint, without holding back. Not just giving part of ourselves, not doing what God wants part of the way, but completely, in complete obedience. You know, you're not completely satisfied with your kids unless they obey you, right? Completely. If they partly obey you, then they didn't obey you, all right? Caleb obeyed, followed God fully. What a testimony. I wonder, could we say that? I mean, if you kind of fulfill our ministry obligations partly, that's not obeying completely. And you might say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. All right? How do we, in our faithfulness, in our obedience, how do we line up with Caleb here? Do we obey God completely? Do we obey him fully? Caleb did. You look at Caleb's life. He relied on God. He remained faithful to God. And I'll add this. He did it when it wasn't popular. When basically he was by himself. He had Joshua, and Moses and Aaron wasn't too pleased. And of course God wasn't pleased. But people-wise, they were on their own. Okay? Yeah, we can have a good attitude and we can have an obedient spirit when it's popular and when it's easy. But that's not what God looks at. When we fully follow after God completely, we do that when it's not popular. We do that when it's not easy. We do that when it is hard. When there's a decision like we talked about last Wednesday in Job, okay, his testimony, he had a perfect testimony. He was upright and perfect before God. Is that our testimony? All right. Simply put, he did that which was right all the time, whether it was popular, whether it wasn't. Here, that's what Caleb was. It wasn't popular to say, look, you know, the land is awesome, it's great, and yeah, there might be a few problems, but God can do it. God can give us the land. That wasn't popular. But he obeyed God. He remained faithful to God. Number three, Caleb remembered the promises of God. And there's two or three promises that I want to look at. Go back to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. You've got Caleb telling Joshua he was 40 when they spied out the land. Now 45 years have passed and nothing's changed. Okay? Caleb still has his eye on the prize. Verse 12. Now therefore give me, this is Caleb talking to Joshua. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. And they were, when you look back in Numbers. And that cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You got to think, these guys, the Anakins, had an extra 45 years to prepare. All right? To get stronger. All right? To build up their cities even more. All right, you think about it. That they had extra time. Time was in their favor, but it didn't matter because God was stronger than them. See, the children of Israel were looking at their strength, not God's strength. And Caleb, he didn't care about the cities. He didn't care about the people. He was relying on God's strength, not Caleb's strength. It didn't matter if he was 40 or 85. He was still willing to take the land because that's what God gave him. He remembered the promise of the land. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I want to show you three verses in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. Now these three verses all have to deal with the promise of God to Caleb of this land, of his inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of the evil generation see that good land. Now, this isn't the message, but this is kind of cool. God here is saying that good land, what did Moses say? He sent those 12 guys out to spy out whether the land was good or evil. Here, the Bible has no contradictions. People do. Okay? Moses said good or bad. God says, look, it was good. Okay? But anyway, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Verse 36, save Caleb, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Why? Here is this phrase again. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Caleb got the promise of the land from God, and he was going to get it. He was going to take it. He remembered the promise. Number two, he remembered the promise of victory. Joshua 14:12. He said, as the Lord had said, the Lord be with you. The Lord was going to be the one to get the land for him. He remembered this. Also, another historical note that I looked up, the previous name of Hebron as Kirith Araba. Araba was a giant among the Anakites, a nation of giants, a fact that causes the heroic faith of Caleb to stand out more vividly. You know the land that Caleb wanted was the land that Anakites were in, and those guys were giants. But it didn't matter. Caleb wanted that land, and he didn't care if there were giants or not. Caleb wasn't going to die getting this land, okay? Because if Caleb died getting this land, God's promises wouldn't mean anything. And Caleb understood that. Not that Caleb was cocky. He just believed God. That's it. You want rest from your wars, from your struggles in life? Simply let go and give them to God. That's what Caleb did. Another thing is Caleb understood the promise of the age. Here he was. He's 85. And Caleb understands what the New Testament, there's a New Testament verse in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? God promised him the land. It was a done deal. And it didn't matter if it was at 40 or 85, he was going to take it because he believed God. See, I think most of us have this problem of just simply, we don't believe God. This Bible is chock full of promises that God has given us. He will never leave us or forsake us. But we don't look at that when trials come. We look at, oh my goodness, there is nothing I can do, and I'm just going to fall to pieces. That's not the way we need to live. That's not the way Caleb lived. When you look at this, I think of another verse in 1 Corinthians 4:2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, that word steward in 1 Corinthians 4:2 and that word servant in Numbers 14:24 both have this meaning of slave. So literally, are you faithful? Are you a faithful slave to your master? Caleb was. Against all odds, Caleb was faithful. It didn't have to be popular. It didn't have to be convenient. It didn't have to be easy. But he got this. He understood this. He was faithful. Can you say in your life that you are a faithful follower of God? we look at our theme for this year, a heart for God. Do you have a heart of faithfulness to God? Do you rely on God for everything in your life? Do you remember the promises? Are you being faithful to God? Do you remain faithful to God in your attitude and your obedience? Because if you get those two things down, those are huge. Because we slip up on that all the time. Things don't go your way, your attitude slips. And if you're at, when your attitude slips, the obedience level starts to slide back from being, I'm going to be completely obedient, to where I can be partial obedient because I don't really agree with that decision. So I'm just going to, I'll do what I have to do to slide by, but I'm not going to have a heart of faithfulness, and I might not understand, but you know what? I'm going to be faithful anyway. You know, we don't understand a lot of things in this life. At least I don't, okay? But that's not my job. That's God's. The key is to be faithful to God in life, in the good times and in the bad times. Stay close to Him and let Him lead you through life. You know, that imagery of Jesus, of God being the potter and we're the clay, that's pretty comforting, okay? Because I would be really terrible at being a potter, all right? But God is the master potter. He wants to make and mold your life and my life the way He wants. And you know what messes up His creation? Our attitude and our obedience. And then He's got to break it down and start over. But you know what? He'll keep doing that because He loves us that much. Because He never gives up on me and He never gives up on you. And that's pretty awesome to have a Creator that loves us so much that He's not willing to give up on us until we are with Him in heaven. Because when we become the master creation that He wants us to be, then we will be the faithful slave that He designed us to be. So we come back to the question, am I and are you a faithful follower of God? And if we're not, what's holding us back? Is it our attitude? Is it our obedience? Is it our faithfulness? I don't know what it is for you. And really, that's between you and God. But you know. So as we're going to close, and as the instruments come, they're going to play. Let's stand to our feet. We'll open the invitation. And just don't let anything distract you from this message. Because if we want to be a church that's going to be used of God, we're going to make sure we have to be individual Christians that are right with God before, as a unit, we can come together and do something for God. Do we have an attitude that would be pleasing to God? Do we have obedience? Do we have the faithfulness that God wants us to have? Caleb knew it wasn't popular, but he didn't care. It was more important to Caleb that he remained faithful to his God.